This week I was hanging from a rope about 40 feet up in the air, sometimes clawing, trying to hang on. And when you're hanging from a rope about 30 or 40 feet in the air, you start knowing how close you are to God and start looking at different things. And this week I've been studying Revelation, as I told you I was going to do. And I'm going to just give you a few little insights from this week's study, and we'll finish it up next week, not the whole book of Revelation, just this week's insights. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read it real quick. We're not going to do it real quick. We're going to do it in God's time. Revelation chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there with me. Everyone knows where Revelation is at the very end of the book, right? So it's not too hard to find. Revelation chapter 1. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what soon must take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." It reminds me of our Romania people right now. They saw things, they experienced things, they heard things, and then trying to explain it again is so hard, but you have to try to explain. You have to try to encourage people to step out in faith and take their own opportunities that God sets before them. And that's what John is doing. He says, "I saw amazing things. These things were revealed to me, and I'm trying to share them so that you might be blessed." And that's an amazing thing that John's doing. It says, "To the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, and he has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and the patience and endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on the scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and Smyrna, to Pergamon, Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest, and his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me, and he says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars you saw on my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Revelation chapter 1. Last week we started this series and we looked at the first four verses of chapter 1. And this week I was wanting to get through 4 through 8, but I'm not even going to get close to it, because we're looking at so much amazing things that God is revealing to us through John in the book of Revelation. And understand, the book of Revelation is just that. It's God's revelation of what? Of Jesus. So many people try to make it so to be so many different things. So many people want to make it a roadmap to events that are coming in the future so we can get ready and all these other things. And really, that's not what Revelation was intended to do. Revelation was intended to reveal Christ to us, to have a fuller understanding, a fuller appreciation of who Jesus is and what he's doing. So in Revelation chapter 1, at verse 4, it says, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. And we'll get there later, but it says, grace and peace to you from him who is
and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. What do you see right there, real quick? And I'm going to be asking some questions this morning. What do you see in just those little verse, in verse 4 and 5, what do you see manifested in those two verses? What do you see? Anything? You see the Godhead? You see what it does right there? It says, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Do you realize what that really is? It's an explanation, or it's an attempt to describe the name of God. If you go back all the way to Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was standing before the burning bush and he was being commissioned by God to go back to Egypt and bring his people out, and Moses asked a very pertinent question. He says, when people ask me who sent me, what am I to say? And God said to him, he says, I am who I am. Do you guys remember that back in Exodus? I am who I am. Basically, what God was saying is he's saying, I am who I am. I am who I was in the past. I am who I am in the present. And I am who I am in the future. It's kind of that whole same idea. And he says, I am the Lord, the Yahweh, the one who always is. It's kind of that same thing. Now, it's really interesting because when you look at all three of these things, remember what I said Revelation was? It's a revealing of what? Of who? Of Jesus, okay? So when it says, I am who is, who was, and is to come, it's talking about God the Father, all right? But God the Father is one with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. The same revelation, the same name was given to Jesus. As a matter of fact, he took it on, and most people who heard him say it thought it was blasphemy, because Jesus said what? He says, I am, remember this? I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. I am so on and so forth. He was saying the same thing. When he's saying, I am, he's saying not just I am, here I am, but he's saying I was, I am now, and I am to come. I am all these things. Jesus was saying when he says, I am the way, the truth, the life, he's saying, I am God. He's taking on the personification. He's taking on the name of God. And it's Jesus. He's saying, I am God. Christ is saying that. So it's pointing to Jesus. And the very next passage that we've got here in this Bible, and this is what I'm going to get to, and we're going to just try and cover it very quickly. It says, and is to come. And then it says, and from the seven spirits before his throne. The seven spirits before his throne, or the sevenfold spirits before his throne. I'm going to tell you, I got stuck on this week. All week long, I was up on this roof. I was doing the roofing thing. I was hanging from a rope. I was trying to do all the things I was supposed to. And all week long, I was thinking about the seven spirits. And I would get home at the end of the day. I'd take my shower because I stunk really bad. And I'd grab my Bible, and I'd sit down, and I'd pour through this. Just this one little study on the seven spirits, the sevenfold spirits, you could spend your entire week on. I did it, okay? It's an amazing little study. One of the things I want to share with you is I don't know if I've got it right, because there are so many different directions that you take this idea of the sevenfold spirit, because I think the sevenfold spirit in my heart of hearts is really talking about the Holy Spirit, the one aspect of the Trinity. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but when it talks about the seven spirits, I think it's talking about the one Holy Spirit. So why does it say the sevenfold spirit? Because the sevenfold spirit, seven in the book of Revelation, all the way through the Bible, is a perfect number. It's the number of completeness, okay? So the sevenfold spirit is talking about the complete spirit. So then I was starting to think, well, what is the idea of the seven parts of the spirit? And you can go looking at the spirit all the way through the Bible. It's absolutely amazing. But there's a couple things that you could take a look at. You could take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and the fruit of the spirit. But the trouble is, there's nine fruits of the spirit. You guys all know that? I'm not going to go through it because I'm going to forget some of them, and then I'll look embarrassed because I'm a pastor and I should know all the seven or the nine fruits of the Spirit, and I'm not going to remember them, so I'm not even going to try it. But Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So that's an aspect of the Spirit, but there's nine. And then you could go to 1 Corinthians, and you could look at all the different gifts of the Spirit. But guess what? There's a lot more gifts than just seven gifts of the Spirit, okay? So it's not talking about that. But then there's a passage in Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. And this is so cool. Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I want to share this with you. Isaiah chapter 11. This is so cool. I love it. Isaiah chapter 11, about right in the middle of my Bible. You see that? It's right there if you're having trouble finding Isaiah. Right there. Isaiah chapter 11. And it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy about Jesus. Do you remember this is the revelation of Jesus, of who he is? Okay. Isaiah chapter 11. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from its roots a branch will bear fruit. Basically, what's going on is it's talking about the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, because they are beaten down. They are pretty much almost destroyed. Assyria has come in and has wiped out the nation of Israel, and they're basically a stump. They're basically, it was a flourishing tree, a great big tree, and now it's just a cut down stump because Assyria has come in and basically wiped them out. They're just a remnant of people, okay? And it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And listen to what it says. I love this. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Count with me. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom. He's counting. Of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You see those? How many did we have? Four? Count with me again. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. One. The Spirit of wisdom. Two. Understanding. You're catching on. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of power. The Spirit of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord. Whoo. I'm not standing up here as the preacher and saying, I'm inspired by God that these are the seven spirits that it's talking about in Revelation, but it's pretty cool. Because you know who this is talking about? This shoot that comes up out of the stump? It's talking about Jesus. You know what it's saying about Jesus? It's saying that the power of the Spirit is going to be on and in Jesus. It's basically what it's saying. It says, this root, this branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now let's think about this. If we're trying to describe Jesus, and we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord would rest on him, what comes into your mind? Okay, let's think. Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Anything pop into your head about Jesus, about his life, about his ministry? This is the audience participation part of the sermon. The baptism. That's an absolutely, yeah, absolutely. That Jesus' baptism. When he goes down in the water, remember that? John the Baptist says, oh, I shouldn't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. He says, no, we should do this in all obedience. And so he baptizes him in the water. He comes up out of the water. And what happens? It says a dove descends on Christ. The Spirit of God in the form of a dove descends on Christ. And you hear a voice saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Does anything else come into mind when you have the idea of the Spirit of the Lord descending on him? The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. What? The day of Pentecost? Yeah. There's another aspect, though, too. I like that idea. But take a look with me in Luke chapter 4. Oh, I'm going to have to cut this so short, it's unbelievable. Luke chapter 4. There's just too much in the Word of God. Luke chapter 4. When Jesus starts his ministry, it says he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. There's that other idea. In the power of the Spirit. And the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth. Remember what Nazareth was, his hometown, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read the scroll the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, unrolling it. He found the place where it is written. Listen to what it says. And the Spirit of the Lord is what? Is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom of the prisoners and the recovery of the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord descending on Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord in this prophecy in Isaiah is the idea that God's presence is with this man. It's with him. In Isaiah chapter 11, we're only going to do one more. This is it. This will be the last one, and then we'll pick it up next week. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on me. It shows his God's approval of his messenger, on God's approval on this man, on Jesus. It says, the Spirit of wisdom. Take a look. When you think of the idea of wisdom, what is wisdom? Real quick. What do you think wisdom is? Is wisdom different than understanding? Absolutely. Wisdom is definitely different than understanding. Is wisdom different than knowledge? Yes, wisdom is definitely different than knowledge. So what is wisdom? If you had to define what wisdom is, what is it? I don't know. How would you define it? Come on, Troy, you guys, you're just dying to say it. Go ahead. It's what I don't have. Karen, you got it. Yeah, you got your head up. I can see it. You put your chin up. You have an answer. Let's hear it. Okay, knowing the truth and knowing how to do it, how to apply it. Okay, that's good. I like that. It says wisdom. Now, if you had the idea of wisdom in your head, how would you apply that to Jesus? Because remember that Jesus is a shoot coming up out of the stump. If you had to think of Jesus and apply wisdom to it, what story would you have? Where would you place that wisdom in Jesus' life and his ministry? Is there any place special that jumps out at you? Yeah, there's a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom there in the last meal, Last Supper. The temptation, yeah. Satan liked to throw everything he had at him right there. And it took wisdom, not just the knowledge, but the ability to apply it and put it into practice when that was coming apart. That's awesome. There's a spot even before he began his ministry in Luke chapter 2. Who said that? Luke chapter 2. Who was it? Troy, you wise guy. Luke chapter 2. He's looking at the same study Bible I am, I bet you. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Actually, we're going to cover two here at one time because it's wisdom and understanding. Because this is before Jesus was even baptized. This is when Jesus was a little boy. This is when Jesus went into Jerusalem with his parents and he got left behind, okay? And he's in the temple. And it says, thinking he was in their company, and this is verse 44 of Luke chapter 2, thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, then they began looking for him among their relatives. They'd lost Jesus. That's kind of a... Anyway, I'm not going to go there. I'm just not doing it. I'm not going there. He says, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, I thought I was bad, but after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. This is Jesus at about age 12 or 13, they're thinking. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. Did you hear that? They were amazed at his wisdom and his understanding as a little boy. You see, the Spirit of God was already in him. You know why the Spirit of God was already in him? Because he is God. He was God from the very beginning when the Word was spoken and everything came into creation. He was God when everything was falling apart. He was God when he was a baby in a manger. He was God when he was a child at age 13. He was God on the cross and he's God now. He had all the attributes of God because he is, was, and will always be God. You see, he had the power of understanding that spirit of understanding already in him as a little boy. He was the one that was asking the questions and trying to get their answers. And when they were giving their answers, he said, yeah, but I can just see, like, bringing one of the little guys up here and he's saying, yeah, that's a good answer, but have you ever thought of it in this way? And I could just see the synagogue rulers sitting there going, yeah, we thought of that, sure. You see, for 3 days, he'd been sitting there teaching the leaders with his wisdom and with his power, with his understanding. Look what it says if you keep reading, verse 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. You see, the Spirit of God was already a part of who Jesus was from the very beginning. Because the three are one. in Revelation where it talks about grace and peace to you, it's saying grace and peace to you from God in totality. From God the Father, from God the Spirit, and God the Son. Grace and peace to you. But the most amazing thing as you continue on reading in Revelation chapter 1 right there, the rest of it is talking about Christ. It has this one little part about God the Father. It says, He who was, who is, and is to come from the sevenfold Spirit. But then when it says from Jesus Christ, it says what? It says all these different aspects. It starts explaining it. It's setting the tone of all the book of Revelation because it says Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the rulers of the kings of the earth, who loves us, who set us free from our sins, whose blood has been an atoning sacrifice, who's made us a kingdom and priests to be glory and power forever. You see, the book of Revelation is about Jesus from beginning to end. As a matter of fact, not just the book of Revelation, it's the book. From Genesis to Revelation. This is God's love letter to us to let us know that His love was sent in the form of a man named Jesus who died on the cross so that we might be made right relationship with Him once again. You know what? We've got so many aspirations. We have so many plans. We have so many things that we want to accomplish in this world. I want to go back to Romania again. I want to have a relationship with that young lady. I want to know her more. We're going to be so close. And this young man and all these different things. We have these aspirations of what we want to accomplish. But there's only one thing that matters. There is only one goal that should be set before each and every one of us. That's to know Jesus. Because everything else, your relationship with that young lady, that young man, all these different people that you've come in contact with, the things that you've done, the things that you're going to do, all of them need to come under the umbrella of Jesus. Because if they're not coming under the umbrella, listen to me, if they're not coming under the umbrella of Jesus, they mean nothing. Nothing. The hard work that you're doing, the hours that you're spending, the resources that you're getting rid of, all those things mean nothing if they're not under the umbrella of Jesus. The words that you say, the places that you go, mean nothing without Jesus. There is no greater aspiration. There is no greater goal. There is nothing on heaven or on earth that is more important than your relationship with Jesus. God sees it so important, so amazing, so incredibly vital to your life. And He wrote an entire book so that you might know Him, that you might find Him, that you might accept Him and find the incredible gift in Jesus. There's no other name on heaven or on earth by which you might be saved except the name of Jesus. He is life. He is truth. And He is the way. That's a shortened version. Next week, come back and we'll get into the rest of the Spirit, the rest of the understanding, the rest of the power of Christ in this passage. It is absolutely amazing. We might be in chapter 1 for the rest of the year of 2015 in Revelation. I'm not making any promise. I have no idea where He's going to go. But if this week is any indication, this is a rabbit trail nightmare. No, amazing dream. Because Revelation takes us from beginning to end. Revealing the name of Jesus. Amen. An awesome study. Amen? We're done. Romania team, thank you. We don't have breakouts, so grab a cup of coffee, grab a little donut, sit around, fellowship, grab one of these Romanian people. They may be Romanian people. Grab one of these team members that maybe you did not. I don't know all your guys' names, but I know you guys went to Romania too. Grab one of these people, sit down with them, just say, tell me your favorite story or tell me the hardest thing that you had to go through on this trip and allow them to share those things with you. If you don't want to talk to a Romanian, talk to an Irish guy, one of the Ireland team. I know Laura and Natalie and Nathan are back. They'd love to share some of the things. I got to hear just little pieces and bits and pieces of it last night from Nathan. Sounds like they had an amazing trip. You know what? Allow God's Spirit to to speak through them, to inspire you to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus. It might not be to Ireland. It might be to the cafe. Your next step might be the cafe and sitting in a booth that someone might be sitting alone and needs to hear the good news of Jesus that you have, that God's placed within you. We're going to sing a song. I think it's my favorite song. We doing Days of Elijah? We are now. I don't care what you're singing, but I'm singing a Days of Elijah. Days of Elijah, right? Yes, Dan? No matter what he plays, you put the Days of Elijah words up there. Okay? We're going to sing Days of Elijah. Right. There it is.
All right. Let's all sing How Great Is Our God. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Because